You're listening to a special episode of Music You're Missing, Industry Experts. My name is Brendan Ginetti, and today we're talking with Dr. Ramses Alkaid, CEO of Nurable. Established in 2015, Nurable is a Boston-based startup commercializing a comfortable, convenient, and non-invasive EEG platform for everyday use in the form of headphones. These headphones include Nurable AI technology, which measures electrical activity in the brain, helping users improve cognitive performance. The company is also working on a technology that allows users to control the device completely hands-free with their brain alone. Joining us today is Nurable's co-founder and CEO, Ramses Alkaid. Ramses is a renowned electrical engineer and neuroscientist who has been recognized globally for his work. He's been named one of MedTech's 35 Under 35 and is a two-time Neuroscience Innovator Award recipient. I'm so excited to speak with Ramses about Nurable, the company's mission, and of course the technology behind the MW75 headphones, but I'm also looking forward to diving into the future of consumer wearable tech and how he handles public comparison to the likes of Twilight Zone or Black Mirror when navigating such a new technology. But before we get Dr. Ramses Alkaid into the Music You're Missing studio, if this is your first time listening, welcome to Music You're Missing. My name is Brendan. This episode is part of a special industry experts series where we highlight some of the industry's brightest thought leaders. We also interview a bunch of amazing artists and feature their music in the official Music You're Missing Spotify playlist. So if you're looking to discover some new music, head over there now and check it out. While you're checking things out, it's super corny to ask, but if you wouldn't mind rating us 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcast, it would help tremendously. The more 5-star ratings we get, the higher likelihood our episodes get playlisted, which means even more exposure for the amazing industry leaders and artists that we highlight. I promise that's all for me. Now, without further ado, I'm so excited to welcome Dr. Ramses Alkaid, CEO of Nurable, onto the Music You're Missing podcast. Dr. Ramses Alkaid, welcome to the Music You're Missing podcast. How are you?
Doing great. I'm excited to be here, honestly.
I'm excited to have you. We just did the demo, and that was like so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most impressive part of the demo, and you can tell them about your experience, is that it catches such small changes that happen.
Right? Yeah.
Somebody walking in, you scrolling past the picture, like you can see how you're focused and how you get distracted and how those things impact your ability to work. Right?
Yeah. Peter walked in and the graph went down and I was like, oh man, I'm doing it wrong. But actually that was perfect because it displayed how actually like real time the demo was.
Right.
So shout out Peter. But I'm excited to chat with you more. Obviously you're the CEO and co-founder of Nurable. I understand it has a personal background, personal origin. Can you tell me a little bit more why you founded it?
Yeah, definitely. So really the origin story starts when I was about 8. My uncle got into a trucking accident. He lost both his legs. And it was a really traumatic time, obviously, for him, having to learn to walk again and go through this whole process. But it's what made me want to dedicate my life toward it was more like prosthetics-based, but how do I develop prosthetics for people like him? And I ended up going to the University of Washington, studying electrical engineering, working on prosthetic development. And I realized that a lot of these prosthetics didn't connect with the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to grad school. I got my PhD in neuroscience to integrate brains into prosthetics. And I saw an even bigger issue in the neuroscience field. And it's something that really deeply troubled me. You know, there's people who don't even know that they have Alzheimer's until 10 years into the disease. Like, that just blows my mind, right?
Yeah.
And there's individuals with PTSD, with depression, like there's this whole issue in neuroscience where you just aren't able to get the breadth of data that you need to solve some of these big problems. Mm-hmm. And so the main goal was how do we create an everyday brain-computer interface? And that's where the technology was developed at the University of Michigan. It's a system, it's an AI that increases the signal of brain data so that what would traditionally take a large cap system now essentially can be brought down to an everyday device and still capture about 90% of the same signal sources.
Yeah, and too, what I think is impressive is that information is accessible to the consumer as well. You don't have to be like a doctor or someone that works in a field to actually understand the data. So that way, it doesn't have to be 10 years until maybe you get like the diagnosis.
Exactly, yeah. And what I think is really powerful, there's actually this startup company, and they can actually detect it potentially up to 10 years before you get it.
Oh.
Right. But the problem is that you go to this laboratory, you put on this giant cap system, you have to do this for multiple years, at least once a month. Right.
Yeah,
and it's a 5-minute process, but you got to put on this cap system with gel. Like, no one's going to do that.
Yeah.
Right. But then what if you're just wearing your AirPods or your headphones and now that's happening in the background, just like your AirPods. I mean, your Apple Watch now can tell you if you had a heart arrhythmia. What if your AirPods could tell you that, you know, you're training toward Alzheimer's, right?
Yeah.
That would be powerful.
And it's so much more realistic because, like you said, whether it's just the getting there, you know, multiple times a year or the cost, it's not a possibility for most people.
Exactly. Right.
So I know Neurable isn't like your first experience in the medical tech field. I know you did some work with like tech and cerebral palsy. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, that was actually the very first iteration of Neurable itself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we were working with children who had cerebral palsy at the University of Michigan. And it was to a degree where they couldn't even communicate, right? Mm-hmm. And the main issue that happens there is in order to get physical therapy, which is what these kids needed to be able to communicate at least physically, they needed to pass a cognitive exam. But if you can't communicate in any way, how are you supposed to answer cognitive exams, yeah. right? And so the main goal there was how do we create a brain-computer interface that can help them communicate? And so the technology actually started out by trying to figure out a way to increase the signal of the brain data so that instead of taking 5 minutes to get a yes or no response, we were able to bring it down to a much faster level. We brought it down to about a minute, which was insane. We're like, wow, that's a 5x increase in speed, right?
Yeah.
Still terrible, right? Imagine if you had to say yes or no and it took you 5 minutes. It's still a terrible experience, but it was a significant step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the technology was born from. We tried to keep it more medical focused for a while, but there just wasn't the funding that we needed to scale this technology out. So we went for a more mass usage application
yeah.
that we know can then go into those medical applications as well in the future, kind of like an iPad. A lot of people don't know this, but most people who have communication issues actually use an iPad for communication now. Mm-hmm. It used to be $20,000 like touch devices, right? Now you buy a $1,000 iPad and you download some software, right? That's how easy we want to make these solutions for people.
I think that's a great analogy too, to when you do come out with a product that's so fresh and unheard of, when people aren't necessarily understanding of it, and then you use an analogy like the iPad, like now that's a major medical device, but you can also watch Netflix on it. Like it's so multiple use.
Yeah, no, for sure. And think about it, like it also means that the world doesn't have to program for these special use cases, right?
Yeah.
If somebody who can only interact with things with touch wants to watch a movie or use Skype or use any of these other systems, they can do that. There isn't like a specific version just for them, because it's able to cover the entire whole, right?
Yeah.
And that's really powerful.
Yeah, and then that brings us to Neurable's MW75s. They are aimed to help people work smarter, not harder. Can you explain the technology behind the MW75s and how they're beneficial to someone who might wear them?
Yeah, so the core technology is two parts. One is EEG sensors, and that's actually these silver bands that are right here, or electroencephalography. These have been used for quite some time, since the 80s is when EEG was first created. Once again, it normally requires a full cap to actually make them usable. The second innovation is our AI that was developed at the University of Michigan in 2011, and it took close to a decade's worth of work, 6,000 people worth of data collection and model, learning models that we had to apply to it to finally get it to the state where we're able to get majority of those same signals from a large cap with the system here. But there's a whole landscape of things that you can capture with it.
And, yeah.
and at least on the product side, what we're doing as a step one, which we call our one small step for man, right? Our very tiny thing that we're doing first is tracking your focus and attention, right? When you feel tired versus when you take a break or when you need a break are two separate time periods. It's like being thirsty, right?
Yeah.
You should be drinking water throughout the day. If you feel dehydrated, you're already hitting those performance barriers. And so the same thing with focus, and our app essentially tells you when you should take a break, you know, when you should drink coffee, all these metrics that help you essentially maximize your productivity so that instead of having to work longer hours, you are just maximizing time that you have, and you can go home with your kids, have more work and life balance. And we've actually seen those results happen with one of our Mayo Clinic studies that we did as well.
I'm kind of curious, who would you say would benefit most from owning a pair of these headphones?
Anybody who's a knowledge worker,
mm-hmm.
right? So with the Mayo Clinic study, for example, we had individuals who did programming or individuals who mixed music or, you know, different types of applications that are sitting, jobs that you do sitting, right?
Yeah.
Where you use headphones, maybe, an air traffic controller could be another person, or even just students,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they have noise cancellation and everything like that. But then as you're working, you know, you're focusing, they help you get into focus faster. And then they'll tell you when to take a break. And that's just so powerful. And the reason for that is, as part of this Mayo Clinic study, we had two groups. One group that took a break either randomly, and then another one that took it using neurable technology, right? And what we found out is that group that took it randomly, they, after 4 hours of work, started burning out. And they kept working throughout the day. And then the second half of their day, they had more errors in their work. They were more frustrated, right? The group that used the neurable break system, they were able to work really well their first 4 hours. And then their second 4 hours, they were able to work at an equal amount of capacity as their first four because they took breaks at the right time, right? Which meant less errors in their work, which meant they left the day less frustrated, right? And then they left really happy because they felt like they accomplished more than they thought they were going to. And that's just because they maintained a healthy mental hygiene is what we call it, right? Throughout the day.
I love that because I'm a producer myself and it's funny. I do a lot of things, but production is the one that really always messes with my focus. And when I get a break, it's, you know, to get water or to eat. It's never because I'm like, oh, maybe my brain needs it. I don't even think about that. So I think something like this would really help me better understand, you know, maybe don't wait till you're thirsty to finally get up. Like maybe actually mix in some mental hygiene, like you said.
Yeah. And the reason we can't do that easily is because your body has pain receptors for like physical. Yeah. Right. So like you can feel when you are sore. You can feel when you're getting thirsty. Right. But it's your brain doesn't have those pain receptors.
Mm-hmm.
And so essentially we're able to gather that brain data and then tell you early, hey, you might not feel it, but you definitely would benefit from a break now. And a 5 minute break now will give you 4 more hours of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an easy trade off, you know?
Yeah. Man, I'm like envisioning just a better future for myself. but speaking of the future, I'm kind of curious because I know that you have some big plans for these headphones and there's going to be updates to come. One thing that I heard about the headphones that I'm so interested in is they will have the ability, say you're like on an airplane and someone walks by and tries to talk to you, they'll know that and they'll be able to pause or stop so that you can hear the flight attendant.
So yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do with brain data.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you can do is actually understand what a person's listening to, right? So in the airplane example, you could be listening to a movie, and then when the flight attendant comes to you and starts talking, and you switch your attention, we now know that what you're listening to isn't the movie, it's the flight attendant. And so we can dynamically change the noise cancellation so that it either stops the movie or lowers the movie's volume, but it increases the volume of the flight attendant all dynamically, right?
Wow.
Now, those are software updates that we're going to be releasing with the technology as, you know, over the next few years. But there is an entire landscape. You know, it's kind of like a Tesla, right? Where you bought the car, but then there's software updates to make it more capable. That's essentially what these headphones are. What I would say is like, these are smart headphones, right? This is what the iPhone was to the BlackBerry, right? We're changing from dumb headphones to smart headphones, right?
Yeah.
And so software is going to make a huge difference in how you use this technology the more it continues to evolve.
I appreciate that because you also could just say, you know, version 2 coming out, buy it. So I appreciate that, you know, you make the initial investment and it just keeps getting better the longer that you have it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so do I.
So how do you see, because obviously this is wearable technology, and I feel like especially right now, it's the age of wearable tech. How do you see this product specifically evolving, but then also just wearable tech as a whole?
Yeah, I think I'll answer it the other way around, which is wearable as a whole, like very exciting. I love, you know, we're starting to see wearables transcend their original use case, mm-hmm. right? The Apple Watch was for motion and heart rate. Now it's for heart arrhythmias, fall detection, right?
Yeah.
So we're starting, and eventually there even going to be something your doctor might want to look at, right? How's your heart doing over long periods of time, right? What I think is rather interesting is that we track so many things except for the most important organ in our body, which is the brain, right?
Yeah.
And so now we're opening that organ for tracking as well too at scale. And the things that you can track with the brain are far more vast than what you can track with any other wearable. It's the ultimate system for understanding yourself. And so I'm really excited for that to happen and to see headphones and earbuds that people already wear every single day become their ultimate health device, their interaction device with technology, and creating this essentially future of compute with these devices. And to answer your first question, which I already forgot because I got so into it, so you could ask it again.
I love it. How do you see Neurable evolving?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of slightly already answered it, which is like, I see us evolving, first of all, headphones is first, right? Enabling them to become computers, just like your phone went from a dumb cell phone to a small, smart one, evolving headphones from dumb headphones to smart headphones, to make it so that the software matters in your headset.
Yeah.
Right? Like spatial audio is cool, but like it's not that cool. You know what I'm saying? Like ANC, like most people are doing it good enough now, right? But what if we could make ANC smart, right? What if we could make spatial audio more intelligent? What if we could make your voice assistant more capable, right? So that's what the brain unlocks. And we see eventually our technology evolving, not just from headphones, but imagine augmented reality. What's going to be your control source, right? You don't want to put on an AR headset and then also have controllers with you, right? One of the biggest complaints that people are talking about on the Apple side is it's frustrating to use sometimes because my eyes are looking all over the place, but that's also how I control the UI.
Yeah.
And it's true because your eyes are meant for scanning information. They're not meant for selecting it, right? So eyes and brain are going to combine together in these AR devices, and now you're going to have your full control system, right? No extra controllers. It's going to feel seamless. It's going to be natural. And so this technology easily evolves into augmented reality platforms as well.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, you mentioned tracking the brain, and just a statement like that from just a common consumer can be scary. And I know a lot of people have compared like this new and evolving tech to Black Mirror or things like that. Mm-hmm. I know your goal is to alleviate human suffering through technology. That is why you created Neurable. So how does a comment comparing you to like Black Mirror or similar products to Black Mirror, like how does that make you feel? And what do you say to people that have those opinions on the technology?
Yeah, I think there's two kind of ways to look at it. One of them, I think is an okay way, which is like, We're already there, you know, like there's cameras all over the streets. Your phones are already listening to you, your laptop camera. You know what I'm saying? Like if somebody wanted to do that and it would be profitable, it's already here. Mm-hmm. And if you go to China, like they're already doing it, right? And so I don't think that that's the future that's going to happen from it. But regardless, at least for us, we think that we're very responsible on making sure that we set the right precedent, right? So we're not planning to sell any of the data that we collect. All of the work that we get is based off of user consent. So people have to opt in. Thankfully, with anything that is headphones or earbuds, you can always just take them off, right? And on top of that, you know, there's a lot of well-established laws on AI and data already. We don't want to replicate the mistakes of the internet, which ignored those laws. Right. And so we're building our technology from the ground up to take that into account and respect people's privacy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. I mean, even nowadays, we see like social media at like the Supreme Court because there were not evolves. I mean, there were not laws evolved then or they are still evolving and they're still not really even there yet. So these new companies are able to learn from that. And they also have way more like stricter beings on them.
Yeah. And I think that like Apple is probably a good example of like a company that can do worse, but has decided to do better. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And that's essentially like our perspective too, which is how do we make sure that everything we do is in a way that's anonymized, that's protected, that's based off of user consent. And you know, a part of it too is even though the data would be valuable, if you're passionate about helping the world understand autism or you know, ADHD, then yeah, go ahead, please share your data with us. Let's you know, combine together to you know, solve some of these biggest challenges. But if not, that's okay too, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to be limited in what you do with your technology because of it.
Yeah.
Right? We want to make sure that you have access to all of our capabilities regardless.
And that brings us to Neurable's MW75s. I know they're available for pre-order now. Where are they in the manufacturing process? Are they almost to market?
Yeah, they're coming out, you know, in the next few months, you know, they're almost ready, right? This is, we have to do color tests right now. We're doing some final like electrical, like testing to make sure everything is good to go. But yeah, I mean, they're pick them up soon because we need to know how many to ship, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then however long it takes for them to cross the seas, you know, like that's, we're pretty much right there, which is really exciting. I mean, it took 10 years of research and development. It took 2 years of actual like development with Master and Dynamic to get it into this form factor and get everything ready. And now it's finally, you know, ready to go into people's hands.
That's it. How are you feeling? Are you super excited? Are you nervous? Are you stoked?
There's not enough words.
Yeah.
But what I can say is that I remember about 5 years ago, I was talking to our engineers and scientists, and I asked them, like, how hard would this be to put into headphones? And they were like, oh, it's probably going to take, like, 5 years, like, 5 to 10 years. And I was like, no way that it's going to take, you know. Like, I thought it was going to take even longer, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that they brought this, and it looks gorgeous, and the audio is incredible, and, like, it looks like a normal pair of headphones, right? There's no, like, crazy prongs out of it or anything.
When I picked them up, I was like, oh, this is just a regular pair of headphones. I thought they were going to be, like, super heavy, to be honest, but they weren't at all.
Like, that's, I give all credit to the team, you know, it's like, wow, like, they really made it happen. And I, you know, I can't wait for people to try it. I don't know if you've seen any of the reviews, but they've been absolutely glowing, right? And it's because the tech works so well. So I can't wait for people to try it out.
That's awesome. And I know, you know, when you start a company and you have a consumer good, a lot of the times it doesn't even make it to market. So truly, congratulations. That's exciting. And I'm happy to be chatting with you ahead of the release.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I wrap up every single podcast interview with this question. It's my favorite question to ask people because it is completely unrelated to your work, your career. What are some goals you have in the near future?
Yeah. I mean, like personally or professionally?
Personally.
Personally. Whew. Wow.
Everyone always struggles because like me, so many of us, like our passions do lie within our work, but like beyond that.
Yeah. I'll need to think more about that because like this has engulfed my entire life. This is like every part of my being. You know what I'm saying? This has been 10 years of hard work, development, the ups and downs and pains and like moments where I'm like, are we going to make it? You know? So I guess like personally, when this gets out, I want to go on vacation, you know, I want to take a month off. I want to go not think about this for at least a month. I know I'm going to come back and there's going to be 1,000 fires, but like, you know, I kind of want to just take a victory lap before I look at all the thousands of issues that people are having whenever new technology goes to market, right?
Minor issues, not large scale issues. I appreciate the honesty and you're deserving of that. So hopefully next time I see you, you'll have like a nice tan. You'll just come back from the beach. And I'm super excited. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.